write to the Interior Department at Firewise, Washington, D.C., 20240. Take a moment, save your life and your memories.
And more memories about to be made here on WUSB Stony Brook. It's 1 minute after 6 o'clock time. Once again, for Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Wow. Interesting day. Well, not for me, really, because I only just woke up a few minutes ago. I haven't been feeling well. And in fact, it's good to just sort of lie down, go to sleep, and wake up when you feel better, which is what I did. And apparently there's a hurricane outside, or there's a tropical storm, Jose, or something is here. I don't know. I haven't checked the news. I don't know anything that's going on today. And that's kind of it's kind of a fun thing to do that sometimes, to not know anything that's happening. I know there's a storm, but Kyle, I think you know a little bit more about what's going on in the world. We just were watching the Barcelona game, so we know that they're winning. That's all. That's all I know about what's going on in the world. And it's windy and rainy outside. I don't know if we're about to get hit with a Category 5 hurricane. I don't know if a tropical storm just passed us and it's over now. I don't know if President Trump has been impeached. I don't know anything.
Well,
I just heard a cheer go out throughout. Okay, I was referring to in this context, people. In this context, I don't know anything.
Yeah, that's really.
I know stuff. I know some stuff.
Sort of a rude reaction.
It is, right? And where'd they come from anyway? We have all this space now. All these people feel free to congregate.
Yeah. That's what happens when you improve things.
The peanut gallery.
Yeah.
That's great. That's just great.
Get popular.
Uh-huh. Well, you're listening to Off the Wall. And I just want to mention before we get started that we stream live at WUSB.FM.
We do.
Around the world.
The Federal States of Micronesia. That's where that website is, .FM. WUSB.FM. I don't know why we have a presence there. It makes no sense. I've tried to figure this out for a long time. WUSB.FM. Don't get it.
But, I think it's frequency modulation. That's a different country.
Is it?
Yeah, you got the countries wrong.
I have so much to learn.
Right.
I'm in the right place, though. I'm in a education of higher institute. I'm in a mental institution where basically people learn a lot of things, and I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
They're higher in this institution. Higher learning is what we're all about here.
Yes.
Now, Well, the main thing I would actually tell you, I'm going to read directly from my phone.
Messi scored 3 goals. I saw it. It was ridiculous.
No.
Huh?
No, that's not what I want to talk about.
All right. So, well, I don't know why you don't want to talk about it. It's
you know,
you're proud of.
As you're aware, I'm from the Pacific Northwest, which is prone to earthquakes.
Okay.
Natural phenomena. You understand it's like a tectonic shifting and the ground sort of moves, it shakes. And
I did hear Los Angeles had an earthquake last night. I heard that last night, but nobody seemed interested.
Well.
Okay.
I got an alert, and this is one thing you might not know. And I'm going to tell you right now what it is.
Okay, hold on a second. I got to make sure I don't cuss. I don't break anything.
Oh, no. I mean, it's not a big deal.
You're
going
to try and shock me with news stories. I just got to be prepared here and get myself strapped in. Okay.
It's not a big deal.
No, go ahead.
I mean, we got a lot to talk about.
We're at it.
Probably going to take some phone calls. There was a 7.1. And that, now I will tell you.
Hold on a second. You don't just end the sentence there in the middle. 7.1, where?
I increased the threshold on my earthquake alerts because I was getting a lot of them there for a while.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I understand. I mainly want to know if I'm in the Pacific Northwest, if there's an earthquake going on.
Don't
if
people
I can't feel it.
Realize it when it's happening?
Right. But if it's in the area or I don't even know why I have it. It's like a pollen alert.
It's a cool thing to
it's
have.
It's too
That's
late
why.
Once you actually read the alert. Okay, fine. It's useless, but in this case, I increase the threshold, so it's only about 6 or, you know, above. You know, really strong earthquakes.
Okay, so not the weak ones.
Well, because if there's a 3.0 and you're in a city, you might feel it, but it's not going to be quite the same as stuff above around 5 or 6. So anyway, I don't get as many of these. That's the other thing. It cuts down on traffic in mail and so on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So this alert is regarding the earthquake in Puebla, Mexico.
This is another one, or is this the one from last week?
This was from the 19th at...
well, that's today.
At 18:14 UTC, so that's...
That's a 6 o'clock UTC, so it was about noon our time.
Noon. Okay. So midday today, there was a massive earthquake and buildings fell over. I saw actually some clips in the sort of rotation of news when they weren't busy talking about you know who addressing everyone at you know where.
Oh my God. He was supposed to speak to the UN today. Did that happen? Did they stop it? What did he do?
He did that.
Okay. He did the speech. But did he stick to the script?
He did.
Yes
that.
Or no? Did he stick to the script, Kyle?
What exact script? I mean,
he had a piece of paper in front of him that told him what to say. Did he do that, or did he veer off it and say something incredibly stupid, insensitive, and unprecedented?
Oh Yeah,
I may remind you, you're under oath.
I'm going to say yes. I don't even know what I'm answering, but yes. If it's this president, you can definitely go yes on that, I think.
Are people talking about, oh my God, I can't believe he said that? Or are they saying, wow, he almost looked presidential today? Which is it?
So on my casual, I was obviously more interested in the Barcelona game.
3 goals. I mean, it's unbelievable. He might have scored more.
That's when I left the
room. We had to leave the house.
It was ridiculous.
I was talking about this on the way over, though, because, you know, there must be a lot of kids who are Lionel Messi fans. And their parents must say, stop getting so messy. And they must get more messy because they want to be like, you know, Lionel Messi and be a good football player. So they just assume that when you get all messy, you're going to get to be a better football player. Are there kids out there that have this problem? If you're a parent, please write to us, otw@2600.com. We'd love to hear your story.
Yeah, just one more example of bad parenting. And yes. I'm sure there are parents that can tell us all kinds of horror stories.
Well, let's get back to the ultimate bad parenting, the creation of Trump. Go ahead.
Well, right. So... there's some praise for, I think, the fact that he did the speech. I mean, how do I want to say this? He sounded like a sort of normal leader, as much as you might be able to say that about Trump, which isn't really...
Okay, that's like Winston Churchill, what you're saying here. That's how he comes off.
He was subdued, I think, but there were some things in there that are concerning. I think he called out North Korea a little bit.
Well, wow, what a surprise! Anything that wasn't expected?
Right, right. Again, casually, I didn't really like look into it. I didn't read articles too deeply. They're still processing it, but yeah, there's a fair amount of condemnation.
It's a word we got to get used to. Condemnation. Yeah.
Judge, lest ye be judged.
Oh, ye has been judged, believe me.
Ye be judged.
Yeah.
All right.
Ye being judged right now.
We judge
Come on,
ye.
Sit down back there. Why are there so many people in that? That's amazing.
No pushing, please. Don't.
No, they're not pushing. They're getting along with each other just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But they're making up signs, and at least the studio's a sound booth.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was some self-congratulating. Definitely was talking about immigrants and the whole, of course,
to the United Nations. Talking about immigrants to the United Nations
situation.
You guys don't know what immigrants are. You don't have any idea about refugees or the things that we avoid every single day. Yeah, that's what he's telling them.
Yeah,
you know, I want to see the speech. I don't want to see the speech, but I want to see what the reaction is. I'm so embarrassed because this is what we put up on the main stage and show the world. This is where we come from. It's not where we come from. It's everything we despise. My God, Nikki Haley has got to be the worst ambassador I've ever seen. All she does is threaten. All she does is make recriminations and ultimatums. Look up the word ambassador in the dictionary, Nikki, and see just what it means. It doesn't mean what you're doing, and that's making situations worse. Telling North Korea they're begging for war. That sounds like a real ambassadorial thing.
No, it's nonsense, and it's lazy.
That's what Ambassador Mallory would say on Babylon 5. He would say, you're begging for war, and one day you won't have a planet to come back to. But, you know, we're not there yet. And he would say it with a lot more style.
Yeah, the delivery is lousy in most cases with this stuff. So it's all something I'm sure we'll continue to process.
Well, I'm looking at my phone now for the first time today.
We'll hear more about it.
Actually, I looked at my phone to see what time it was, but I haven't looked at all the news bulletins and messages that I've gotten today. So let's see what it's a great honor to have spoken before the countries of the world at the United Nations. This is Trump. Mexico earthquake update, at least 49 killed, 7.1 magnitude. Let's see, at least 42 dead. Okay, keeps God bless the people of Mexico City. We are with you and we'll be here. We'll be there for you. That's Donald Trump saying that to the people of Mexico who have always been friends of his. And just a lot of, here's more proclamations. As president of the United States of America, I will always put America first. Where the hell are you? We have 3 guys waiting on the dock. That's a message from last night I didn't look at. Strong earthquake, magnitude 7.4. Okay, so it got downgraded a little bit. Hurricane Maria kills at least one person in the French island of Guadeloupe. All right, that's pretty much it. Nothing else. Nothing about Jose. What's going on with this? Can you tell us about what's happening to us right here and right now? Because I woke up, there's a little bit of wind, a lot of rain, but I wasn't hearing hurricane force winds. I was kind of hoping for that.
No, there wasn't really any alerts. I didn't look too deeply into local impacts. I'm sure like commuting and other things were obviously affected. It was a serious squall on the way here, though, and just in the afternoon. But the intensity has been pretty consistent. It's been continuous swells of wind and rain, and I like this. I like this
kind
of weather.
You ever wonder what the animals do on days like this? I mean, are they inside their nests or tunnels or whatever, cleaning things up or just organizing? Or are they just sitting around sulking? It seems like a waste if that's what they're doing. But, you don't see anybody out. Actually, we did see geese on campus. There's a bunch of geese out. I guess they don't care about getting wet. But I don't see birds flying around. I don't see squirrels. I don't see chipmunks. I don't see raccoons. So everybody's inside. But what are they doing? They don't have TV, obviously. Well, that might not be obvious to everybody.
Probably.
But they basically are doing something.
Napping.
Or they're just napping, really?
Napping.
That's all
no,
they do?
I think it's napping. No, it's definitely napping. I think animals just get a lot of short naps in, and then maybe they eat and then so on.
Okay, but then does that mean that they're more equipped for something later because they've napped now? You know, it all comes around at some point.
Well, when we notice that they're like really energetic and running around and doing all kinds of different daily activities where we wouldn't possibly want to be hassled with all that kind of erratic behavior, it's because they're so well rested.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird. Some animals are very regimented. Like birds, they go to sleep when the sun goes down. They wake up when the sun goes up. Eclipses really kind of screw them up a bit. I've never heard of a bird with insomnia other than mockingbirds, which are supposed to do that. Other animals, they kind of just get up and dogs, cats, they wake up at night. They go to sleep. They do whatever they want. And that's more my style.
They have their own drum beat that they establish.
Yeah.
That's their rhythm.
They're in charge of their own destiny.
They're like individualistic instead of...
Oh, that's my kind of animal, one that doesn't follow the rules.
Right, instead of a homogenous group of animals.
Like, there are these feral cats we know, and they're either up or they're not up. They can sleep in the middle of the day. They can be having a party in the middle of the night. It's, you know, they make the rules, and that's what it's all about.
I think
we should follow that example. I'm disappointed. I thought there would be more going on. I pretty much, you know, zoned out for almost 13 hours. And
well, I think you needed it, and I think we all need to, like, yeah, step back, gotta regroup. You have to give your mind a rest.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I think this weather is great for resting and maybe reading or whatever activity calms you down.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. There's other things on some of the projects and endeavors we've been involved in. I was checking in on this car thing that we've been involved with.
Our lying automobile that told us it was not polluting when it was?
I don't want to, you know, harp on it. I don't want to be a big,
No, it's okay. It's all right.
I'll just mention, I checked on it because we got a bunch of information about the emissions being fixed. And obviously, it's in our interest. We're in the closest proximity to this vehicle. We would like it to not be hazardous, both to us and everyone in our immediate path.
Mm-hmm.
So to that end, I get this communication, and I wanted to go in and get whatever modifications done quickly because we're busy people. And again, we don't want to be polluting. So as soon as possible, we'd like to get it remediated and fixed and so on. To say nothing of the other parts of the program that are very interesting to us, being that, we get a settlement out of the thing. So they told me today that the software fix was in and someone attempted to get it done on their vehicle and it didn't work. So we're on the list, apparently.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they...
What do you mean it didn't work?
A person also called because they had got the notice that the approved fix, the CARB, California Air Resources Board, and EPA fix was ready, and you could, you know, make an appointment to get your car fixed so it doesn't pollute and so that you can be eligible for the settlement. And the guy wasn't able to actually get it resolved because the software itself, once loaded onto the car, didn't work.
Wow. Okay, so it's a software issue.
So they now have a list. Our dealer has a list. We're on that list, supposedly, and that is the update to that.
Well, you know, I would caution against moving too quickly, because if they don't even have their act together where the software works properly, you know, we could wind up not having a working car for however long it takes them to figure that out.
Yeah, yeah, and it's hard to watch. I really would like it done right, and it's hard to watch because there's so much marketing around electric vehicles and all of the sort of idealized future, which is great. And we talk about it all the time. We love transportation, trains, you name it. Granted, we're going to be a little critical if you strap us to a robot and tell us we're going to be going at highway speeds and we can't intervene. That's the kind of stuff that we like to discuss. But in any event, so the hype for all that stuff is great. But in our immediate need, it's... We need a new catalytic converter, and apparently we can't get it done because the software doesn't work.
I'm looking now at the New York Times, actually, for what happened today at the United Nations. This is how you should have led the story, Kyle. Trump vows to totally destroy North Korea if it threatens U.S. That's what he said to the U.N.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned. You said, like, what, big whoop? You said, course he's going to do that.
Okay, but it's the language. It's exactly how he said it.
Dismissive.
Totally destroy. Well, you know, it depends how you say it. If you say, we're going to continue, fighting against them, but these kinds of words. All right, let's see what he said. Characteristically confrontational message. Oh, yeah, pretty much the same thing. He vowed to totally destroy North Korea if it threatened the United States or its allies, and denounced the nuclear agreement with Iran as an embarrassment that he may abandon because deals mean nothing to him. It's unbelievable. So if North Korea threatens us, what does that mean? We're gonna meet you in the alleyway, and we're gonna get even with you. That's a threat. You know, how does he define these terms? Just a threat is not the same thing as an attack. North Korea will threaten all kinds of things. They will never, and I speak from some authority on this, they will never launch a preemptive strike against a foreign nation. They will not do that. They're not idiots. Now, what Trump is saying is he's moving the line a little bit and saying, if you threaten to do that, we will destroy you. That, to me, is a lot more unhinged than anything Kim Jong-un is saying. And think about what I just said here, because things Kim Jong-un says are pretty unhinged, but Trump and Haley and his ilk are exceeding that and making the world a much more dangerous place. They literally are putting millions of lives on the line for their own stupid egos, and they have to be stopped. And I don't want to have to say something like this after it's happened, but we are on the precipice of something really, really dangerous. And we need to recognize that. This is not how you resolve the situation. How do you see it going? Come on, Trump, Haley, how do you see this happening? What do you think is going to be the next move from North Korea? They're going to say, wow, didn't expect you to threaten total annihilation of our country. Well, here are our nuclear codes and our weaponry. We're just going to leave that by the side here. Let's turn the light off when you're finished. We'll just go back to an agrarian culture. No, it's not going to work that way. Okay, they're going to keep it up. They're going to keep up the flowery rhetoric. They live for flowery rhetoric. They invented it. All right. And if you can't handle that, you are in the wrong game. There's just no other question. So we have to start asking ourselves, where is this going to go from here? Because you got two pig-headed opponents that just can't seem to stop, only one of which has a horrible track record as far as first strikes on other nations. And it ain't North Korea. So I'm worried about this. I really am worried about this, not because of anything Kim Jong-un is doing. I worry about all kinds of other things going on over there as well. And I'm not saying it's a nice regime by any stretch of the imagination, but I am worried about where this particular conflict, which, why in the world is it a conflict between us and them in the first place when they're in Korea and we're over here? You know, we should be working to make sure Koreas talk to Koreas and Asian countries work out Asian issues. You know, imagine if China was over here talking about all kinds of disputes between the United States and Canada. You know, that would be a little annoying.
Yeah, I agree that it's annoying,
uh-huh,
to say the least.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know. I saw some tweets about our own like missile defense system, and it's the same basic announcements that the North Korean regime is announcing, but with our own technology, and it's the same sort of comparison that we've discussed in the past about escalating where your prowess, or, you know, how people perceive you on the world stage, and
uh-huh,
what they've said is no different. The difference is that we've actually done some of this stuff with that type of weaponry.
Yeah, and so have a lot of countries. You know, we draw these imaginary lines and we say you cannot cross that line. Why do we get to say that? You know, doesn't that kind of bug you when you have all this high moral authority that you don't really deserve, and we're the ones saying you guys are evil, therefore you can't do this, and we expect them to agree. Yes, we are evil, but we're going to try and get around your, you know, nice just American ways. Maybe it doesn't look that way to them. Maybe they look at things a little bit differently, considering how their country was flattened by us in the 50s. That's got to leave, you know, a bad taste right there. Considering we have literally thousands of nuclear weapons pointed at them, that's got to make them a little bit uneasy. So maybe they want one. I don't know. There's all kinds of perspectives that we just kind of conveniently ignore.
Yeah, our own framing is, it's a myopic view of our own framing of the news and the world and where we fit in it and so on. Did you see this other story about the world ending in fire? Speaking of cheery
These are the Christians?
You know, but where did you see that in Google News? What section?
I don't know what section. Is there section for lunatics that predict
science.
The end of the world?
It's under science.
It's under science?
Yes. Yeah, I was looking through the news. You might do this, and there's a lot of different aggregators, of course. So Google News is obviously one that is oft used. I use it, and I'm flipping through. The bottom section is science. And the very first article is this harebrained story. Well, okay, yeah, here's where I don't want to be wrong, but they're basically – I didn't even read the article. I'm not going to give it the attention, but suffice to say it's something about basically the world ending in fire on the 23rd of September. Are we about done with these predictions yet? I mean, how many more? I think it started with the Mayans, and that was like a little early, like in the teens. Uh-huh. I don't know. E, do you have any information?
I don't
this?
Know all the end of the world predictions.
I mean,
only
who's
know
left?
the ones I maintain myself, but there are, well, there's always going to be more. It just has to be a new philosophy or religion started, and somebody's going to come up with a prediction for the end of the world.
Well, but, like, there's the everyday threat of it that I think we're all grappling with one way or another, but then there's the these sort of calculated ones like Nostradamus or whatever.
Did you see those missiles launching?
Oh, really? Are those our missiles?
Those are South Korean missiles. Did you know that the South Koreans tested some missiles and nobody said anything? Because that's okay. That we can do that. That's all right. Nobody can criticize this.
I did know that.
North Korea, no, sit down. You can't do this.
And that's kind of like what I was talking about with this massive, I'll name them, but yeah, government contractor who's like, yeah, you know, we invented this and we're going to upgrade it and, you know, check out our latest model. And I mean, how is that any different than North Korea? Yeah, they're new to the game, but, you know, we're talking about this as something that's strategic and using all this like nice PR language. Well, North Korea's PR language is, you know, American dogs need to be put down.
Yeah, yeah. It's really, you know, if you're lucky enough to be insulted by the North Korean government, it's something you will hold dear to your heart for the rest of your life. Because, wow, the words they come up with, I wonder if they do it in every language or is it just in English? Because, wow, it's they set you in your place in language you would never even...
That's a good question. Does it start with English or does it start in North Korean and someone carefully translates it? I mean, how does it exactly come about? But it is really, what do I want to say, pithy, very... rich language.
Yeah, no, they make use of of all words and innuendo and just things that really will get under your skin.
What else? Okay, so yes, that there's the
we got North Korean insult generator. I'm sorry, I was looking up North Korean insult generator.
Oh, that's cool.
Are you a world leader who's been the subject of an elaborate name calling campaign by North Korea? If not, The Washington Examiner has you covered. Our North Korea most supreme insult generator gives you the chance to feel the unique thrill of knowing that Kim Jong-un not only hates you, but wants to put it in press release form. You see, the state-run media in Pyongyang has a certain flair for insults, stilted almost Shakespearean and built from maximum shame. Just type in your name and let her rip. And who knows, one day you too could become a despot in dire need of a snappy insult for your enemies around the world. Now, okay, let's see. I'm gonna put in. Should we put in off the wall or should we put in WUSB? Which is a better? Let's put in WUSB. That way everybody can share in the insult.
I was gonna say Bob Longman, but
no. I don't think you want to insult him.
No. That would be a terrible miscalculation.
He's the only one that can stand up and insult them back.
Yeah, he's good. He's quick with the wit.
Okay, I generated it, but where did it go? Oh, these websites. Okay, we already did this. I typed in the name. WUSB Radio. How about that? Maybe it wants two names. Generate. Little hourglass is going there. And it just goes back to the story. Great. Okay, I'm sorry, folks. This is Web 2.0. It doesn't work.
Someone didn't make a very good Java applet.
Or somebody's blocking something. Okay, but here's the thing that's going to end the world on the 23rd. Nibiru. Is that how you say it? Planet X is going to smash into Earth. We should know how to pronounce the planet that's going to smash into Earth. It's a bizarre claim. It's been put forth by a number of conspiracy fans, most notably David Mead. He has tied the disaster to a number of biblical prophecies and passages, including Revelation 12:1. That passage reads, "A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head." Okay, that's got to be Angela Merkel, right? Because 12 stars, that's the EU, and the sun was out in Germany, and she was wearing clothes.
How could it not?
Okay, but wait. Now it says, "And being with child." I don't think she has a child. She cried out in her travel and was in anguish of delivery. Wow, this is some good passages in the Bible there. Okay, Mr. Mee claims the sign in the sky refers to the stunning eclipse experienced last month.
I was just going to say that was the first thing that came to mind, is that, okay, maybe they're off a little bit, and this is regarding an eclipse, which is often in the history, I think, been confused with planets or objects coming directly for Earth or whatnot in that sort of apocalyptic sense.
Well, he explained that the great sign of the woman, as described in Revelation, forms and lasts for only a few hours. I didn't see any woman in the sky. According to computer-generated astronomical models, this sign has never before occurred in human history. It's going to occur on September 23rd, 2017. It will never occur again. When it occurs, it places the Earth immediately before the time of the sixth seal of Revelation. I've been dreading that for a long time. The sixth seal of Revelation. During this time frame, on September 23rd, 2017, the moon appears under the feet of the constellation Virgo. The sun appears to precisely clothe Virgo. I see. Okay, so Virgo is involved in all this. All bets are off then. All bets are off. September 23rd, so what? Today's the 19th. That leaves us, that's the weekend.
Okay.
Oh, the world can't end over the weekend. That's so many untied ends.
Maker Faire.
Be at Maker Faire, too.
Yeah, we're going to be doing science and demonstrating things.
Demonstrating how this is not happening. Yeah.
Which is great. We need more scientists and demonstrations.
Well, this is science. According to Google, this is a science story about the end of the world. So I guess that's where we'll be following it. Maybe Discovery Science Channel, whatever, will have some special about this. Okay, so St. Louis, all kinds of upheaval there.
That's
and,
right.
And you know, again, rightfully so. What
Another
do you
acquittal?
Expect? Yeah, well, I expected that. It's insane. In case you don't know, this is a case a few years ago where a motorist was being pursued by a cop who is basically recorded saying, "I am going to kill this guy."
At the very end, like right when he's at aggravation, at the height of this chase.
And then he goes and he kills that guy. And then a few years later, a judge says, "Yeah, he said that and he did that, but he didn't mean it." You know, and that's why people are upset. And it's a simplistic way of summing it up, but that is pretty much what happened.
That's like that whole argument, or that whole it's not an argument, but like the phrase, "I'm going to kill that," you know, "I'm going to kill you," or "I'm going to kill
okay,
this."
Okay, no,
I'm
no,
kill
you're
that.
Right, you're right. And
it's become a colloquialism.
People say that all the time. "I'm going to kill this guy." You know, people say it to me all the time. But here's the thing. When you're chasing somebody with a gun and you say it, it takes on a different meaning. You know, and I maintain that you're more likely to actually kill somebody when you're chasing them and you have a gun.
And then the step further, when you actually do it, then all bets are off. You're kind of...
You have to take that into account.
You're past that being an excuse. It's not really gonna hold water.
So... If you look at the media, the mass media, mostly right wing media, but a lot of the mass media as well, what do they focus on? They focus on the rioters. Oh my God, they're breaking windows! Really? That's it? They're just breaking windows? You know, I'm not in favor of breaking windows. I'm not in favor of riots. But as we say many times on this show, you have to understand why certain things happen. If you do this kind of thing to the community is going to act. And I know a lot of people can't stand to hear this, but people will react in ways you don't want them to. They will break glasses. They will attack cops. They will cause mayhem and destruction of a kind you have never seen before if this particular behavior continues. And we see nothing reining it in. We see nothing saying it's going to it's going to change. We see more video evidence. We see more outrage, but we don't see any change in the verdicts. That is staying the same.
Yeah, yeah, you have to build that cost into the calculation of these rulings. And, yeah, have you seen a protest in the world? I mean, it's not – I mean, our protests are pretty tame. And but this stuff is worth getting upset about. And people have to show up. Yeah, there's going to be bad people.
Of course, I don't think anybody should throw bricks at another human being. That's terrible.
Right.
That does happen.
We're not saying there aren't going to be people there that do things that aren't what everyone else is with.
I don't think people should shoot other people ever. But when you have war, that's what's expected. That's what, you know, if you take a side or another side, you are going to say, "I hope my side shoots more people." So, yeah, while you might say you don't want this kind of violence, when it gets to the point where you are taking sides, where you have, you know, an armed occupier and you have the people are going to start saying, "Yeah, we got to hurt some of these guys." That is where we are heading. That's what we're trying to warn people about. And, you know, 99% of this is tied to NRA and their everybody get as much armament as you can, because cops are out there and they're scared because they don't know what people have. They don't know what kind of armaments they're up against. And they react in ways that are completely unprofessional. And they wind up killing a lot of innocent people because of what they might have. Well, you know, if we lived in a society where it was a good chance you didn't have the kind of weaponry that could, take down a tank, then I think you would have less cops overreacting. Of course, you would still have the racism. You would still have the bad cops in there. And that still has to be dealt with. But this situation has been made so much worse by the fanaticism with weaponry. And, you know, again, the reason, because you have to protect yourself against tyranny. Folks, what are you under right now? What are you living under? Your weapons aren't doing you any good whatsoever. That's not what they're for. It's just making the society a whole lot worse.
Yeah, I think that's also compounded by the bureaucracies and the departments themselves, and equipment and technology transfer from the military, as we've said in the past many times, the militarization of the police, making them more further and further away, as in putting more and more armor and just making them at the other end of a water nozzle and so on and so forth. But the really interesting thing, though, is crime in general has gone down. But through, I think, violent... I think a lot of time these sort of normalization of violence compounded with militarization and what you've said about private gun ownership, like the really the emphasis on sales and arming for, you know, Obama or Trump or whatever.
There's
going
to
be some kind of zombie uprising that I'm going to need all this ammo for. Which it's really what we would have needed is more moderation on social media and
more,
stuff.
More
is
communication,
what we're finding.
Humanization
but,
too.
But the funny thing that I've see there and what you've said is that the trend historically is that violence has gone down, but the officers enforcing the law, their attitudes, you are seen not as as part of the overwhelming good that is in society, but you're seen as you're compared to the worst thing that this cop has ever seen as a possible outcome or makeup of your identity.
The worst thing in his imagination too.
In his imagination. So both the worst thing he's seen on the job and that he can imagine, he's got all the tools and things to keep him from actually engaging with you, talking to you as a human being, and listening to you instead of stereotyping and making you out to be someone that is in their head up to way more than you may actually be doing as a private citizen or just being yourself.
You know, we don't get to the point where things start to improve without movement on both sides. And when we believe that cops are the enemy and that's just, you know, that's non-negotiable, their very existence is you know, you can't get past that. That's going to be something that is very hard to surmount. When you have communication, when you have identity, when you know who people are, when they're part of the community, you know, when's the last time you identified a cop by name? When you know who they are, when's the last time they knew who you were in a friendly kind of a way, where you know you could maybe greet each other walking down the street or something, because they're not dressed like a soldier and they're there to protect you. That's their job. That's what it should be. When you have that kind of a relationship, then you know you actually talk. You can actually see different perspectives and not have this kind of open warfare mentality, which is leading to all of this. Again, you know, the racism is still there, and that's something that needs to be dealt with in a very serious way. Not much has changed since the 1980s, except that it's less overt. People don't say it on the street as much, but they still think things. They still make their judgments when they pull people over and when they decide to shoot somebody because they think they might have been reaching for a weapon, which turns out not to even been there. Most times, their race plays heavily into that.
Yeah, and it's most of the time the police themselves, you know, are now seen, I think, and it's compounded because of that. They're seen as they could be bad, and by everyone. And until this stuff is addressed, as you said, it's until it's resolved and that people are actually justice is seen in these cases. People are going to be afraid. People are going to be concerned about interacting with police, just as police are, you know, doubling down on all their riot gear because they think everyone is violent or they're going to see a lot of it at protests.
They get exactly what that perception is, because then people start acting violent because they're dressed for violence, and then they begin acting violent too against the people. And you can't turn back from that. When you go down that road, it's very hard to come back from it.
Right. It becomes self-fulfilling, is I guess what I'm saying.
So, you know, you have a situation in St. Louis where people are protesting on the street. I like to come up with simplistic solutions or just ideas to try out to maybe go down a different road. Basically, you know, the cops are the people that are being protested against. why are the cops the ones that are facing off against the people who are protesting against them? Anybody else should be doing that job at that point. I say when you have a protest against the cops, you take the cops out of the picture, you replace them with a different police force, maybe somebody who is not invested in the actual situation itself. Or maybe you have a minimal police presence and let people just express their outrage one way or another. That could work. Might be a disaster. Who knows? Yeah, but having those same people there, it just makes this us versus them thing solidify even more.
Yeah, I think a hands-off approach is actually I would be soundly shot down, I'm sure, by police chiefs across this country. But the point is, I think people should be a bit of a hands-off approach in light of the things that have gone on, and there have been some instances of that occurring, because people do need to be able to assemble. And if you immediately declare this street or anyone doing anything, you impose these really strict guidelines and say anybody doing anything can't be there, you're repressing that actual form of expression, when in fact more people need to be encouraged to show up at these things. Mm-hmm. And that actually creates an environment of a lot of people that can actually be a little bit more organized in policing, because you have sort of social standards. People look out for one another, and they're going to tell other people to cool it if something gets out of hand and so on.
You bring up an interesting point here as far as people showing up and demonstrating, because I think, after something like this happened, after the verdict came down in St. Louis, and so many other places, the absolute worst thing that people could do is nothing. If people didn't show up, if people didn't care, if people just resigned themselves, saying that's the way it is, nothing we can do about it, might as well go about our daily jobs, that is the worst possible thing. Showing up in force, being loud, being even destructive at times, it might not be convenient, but it is healthy. It is a healthy expression of outrage, and you need to express that. Now, we don't need people hurt. We don't need people to be attacked. But like we've been saying, it's inevitable if this kind of thing continues. If this arms race, if this us versus them mentality continues, we need to address that. And that's something that I'm not seeing much addressing of on either side. But I think, the impetus is mostly on the side of the people that have control of the situation, control of the streets. And that, of course, are the people who were chanting whose streets are streets. Those are the cops chanting that, if you can believe that.
Yeah, this is our everyday lives. I mean, this is kind of normal now. I mean, the administration itself, literally the second day was the fixture of a protest being the Women's March in D.C. So that momentum ought not to it'll change, it'll transform, but it ought not to to disappear, because right. We need voices and numbers of people responding so that the people who can put pressure on leadership, be it your local leaders, state leaders, and so on, that they know they have the numbers of people that are with them, that have their backs, that are saying, no, we're interested in the administration of this country going in a different direction, and this is how you know.
Trump hasn't said a word about this, has he? I don't think he's tweeted anything about St. Louis, about
cops, our poor cops.
Well, he's done that in the past.
We could all.
This specifically, though, I don't think he has said anything.
No, he hasn't. I don't think. But we could all make up the tweet in our heads.
Oh, yeah. No, we all could. But why hasn't that tweet been sent? Somebody is getting in the way, perhaps? Or is he thinking twice about this? We have to think this way. That's the only way to know what's going on.
He's been trying to have good weeks. There's been a couple, things where he's been, I don't want to even say subdued, but at least, like you said, controlled. Like, there's definite, this is that whole General Kelly shakeup as chief of staff, is, drill sergeant. So, they have to go to bed on time. And I don't even know. it's trying to look.
I saw a picture of Kelly's office, and it has got a calendar on there. It's got X's on it, like in a prison. He's counting down the days.
The days till it's over.
It's really, it's pretty scary. Here's another one of my simplistic solutions, though. If you're a cop and you kill somebody, that's it. No more.
Yeah, you
don't get to kill somebody else. It doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. You should not have to kill somebody a second time. You should not have to kill somebody ever. If you've killed somebody, something didn't go right. It's a traumatic thing. And if you're right, well, okay, we'll get you an administrative job someplace, but we don't need somebody out there who has, you know, a bunch of kills under their belt. And if you were wrong, then all the force of justice would come after you.
I honestly, I want to see more attention to, and I don't want to make a big song and dance for police being victims, but like, these guys shouldn't be cops anymore after some of these interactions.
Absolutely not.
And at the minimum. And I think they should be evaluated for PTSD. I mean, we have names for some of these conditions now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The anger, the like, the symptoms of this behavior, I think, could be classified. And I think there's way too many people that are justified in these roles of these positions of authority.
Exactly, exactly. But I mean, let's look at this, you know, parallel to some other things. Like, you know, if you're a pilot and you're operating an airplane and it crashes, you're generally not a pilot anymore after that. Or certainly, you're not a pilot on, except for maybe Sully, you're not a pilot on a commercial airline. Because people don't want to ride with somebody who's crashed a plane.
It's not to say the
assuming they survive.
It's not to say the police department doesn't need someone to make coffee.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things, and that's not to mean it. I'm saying, you know, from a human point of view, it's not healthy. It's not healthy for you to continue being a cop after you've killed somebody. It's not healthy for the community. It's not healthy for you. Now, I don't know how realistic this is. Do cops just, as a rule, kill people all the time? I know there's a lot of people killed by cops, but maybe every cop kills somebody. Maybe that's I don't know. I don't know how to even look that up. How many cops actually kill somebody if you take, 100 cops in a room? How many of them actually kill somebody? I would hope it's zero. In some countries, it is zero. But in this country, I think it's probably a higher number. That noise, by the way, is Donald Trump tweeting, I think. So I'm not even going to look at it right now.
Why are cops always brave? Why is it when they shoot someone, they're always brave? Why don't we frame
them? You want bravery? Try walking down the streets of some neighborhoods, and that'll... Boy, he's tweeting up a storm.
Or standing up to a line of cops with batons about to beat you. Why aren't they called cowards for shooting someone who is unarmed?
You know what it is? This is the POTUS Twitter account as opposed to the Donald Trump Twitter account. For some reason...
Oh, it's scheduled.
They get sent out in batches, and I'm getting something like 50 tweets now from POTUS.
Scheduled.
Not from Trump. But okay, so never mind that. There's this other story that I wanted to focus on in the moments we have left. And that's this really tragic tale from Georgia Tech. This was a student who left three suicide notes in a dormitory room and called the cops. And the cops showed up. He described a suspicious person. Can you throw this thing in the trash can, please? Trump ruins everything. He described a suspicious person, a white male, long blonde hair, white T-shirt and blue jeans, possibly intoxicated, holding a knife, possibly armed with a gun on his hip. They found a multi-purpose tool that it contained a knife, and the statement did not say whether the knife was displayed, but no firearms were recovered. Basically, you might have heard this story, but basically the cops killed this guy.
He said, shoot me.
So here's the deal. This person, and transgender too, so, people are having a field day with this as well. How does this person want us to refer to them? It's not difficult. It really is not difficult. It's not the focus of the story. What is the focus of the story is that this was somebody who clearly was troubled, who was saying, shoot me, to the cops, and the cops obliged. You know, and you have video of this. You have cops saying, nobody wants to hurt you. But then this person advances a couple of steps holding a knife, which, by the way, if you ran at somebody, you know, full speed and tried to stab them with this knife, I don't think you would hurt them very severely. You could certainly get out of the way. But this person just didn't follow commands, which is what police like to issue, commands. And as a result, it's called suicide by cop. And God, I hate that phrase. I hate that phrase so much. I hate people who use that phrase.
It's a thing, though.
It's a thing. And the reason why I hate the phrase is because you are saying cop is something lethal, like, you know, suffocation or bullet wound or whatever. And, you know, cop is human, is a person. So, you know, if you're saying that simply not obeying a cop is suicide, there is something seriously wrong with all of us for believing that, for agreeing to that.
Yeah.
That's not the way it should be. So what these guys did, these campus police.
It says it makes it objectively lethal.
Yeah. What they did is they basically did not know how to back away. They only knew how to advance. And when this person didn't do what they said, and when this person seemed to be, suicidal or threatening or whatever, they just did the only thing that they thought was the solution, that was shoot them.
And that
this is the problem.
And that they trained to do 3 times a week over at the shooting range.
Yeah. How about this? How about this, guys? You walk away. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous, but this person is acting irrationally. Well, we can't move towards you if you're not there, so disappear. Now, just keep an eye on the guy. I'm not saying don't, leave the guy alone. Disappear. Walk away. Run away if you have to. No one's going to make fun of you. Run away. Keep an eye on the person. Make sure other people stay away from him as well. And then you figure out other ways of basically making them drop the knife, making them calm down. There are other ways. You don't have to be right in their face. This did not have to happen. And there are so many situations like this that do not have to happen because people are not trained, because people think violence is the only way, because people think suicide by cop is a thing. I see comments saying these cops did nothing wrong. And what bothers me, obviously they did something wrong. A guy, this person is dead, so they did something wrong. But to think that there is no other option than that, that is what the real problem is. Yeah, something is wrong when you have to believe that kind of thing.
Yeah, no information about whether they had non-lethal weapons or anything in the story.
Just a knife. But
no, I'm saying the police say.
Oh, if the police had non-lethal weapons, kind of, I'm sure they did.
Way to subdue him with like a taser. Those are really common weapons now and are effective.
How about a net? You drop a net on somebody.
Well, what I think,
and they can't move.
How about even just more jobs like with. In the forces that are specialized, I've heard stories about paramedics, EMS getting training in policing, or firefighters getting issued bulletproof vests because they're called to crazy situations all the time. I think police need more layers of jobs, not more tools.
You raise a good point. Anybody, any group of people called to that situation would have handled it better. So you call the
dog catcher.
Call the physics students over. Call the science fiction club. No, I'm not kidding. Anybody could have made that situation turn out better. Could have resolved it.
Yeah.
And these guys, it makes you want to call the cops at the last possible resort, or maybe never. And that's as unhealthy as viewing them as enemy combatants and occupying forces and things like that. Hey, we're out of time. I can't believe the time went so fast. I don't know what's going on outside. What's the deal with the storm? Are we going to have a hurricane or a tropical storm, or was that it?
The Weather Underground says rain ends at 9 p.m.
I'm so glad they found a more constructive use for their talents, the Weather Underground.
Yeah. They're just sticking to weather.
Well, we asked our interns to come up with something for Jose, and I don't think they had much luck. What do we have?
No way, Jose.
Really? This is it? This is what we're going to play? This doesn't even... Okay, whatever. Well, this is a good song. Was it Dionne Warwick? Yeah, okay. Listen to the lyrics. These actually are very good lyrics. It's a good song, but really, we couldn't come up with something better for Jose. All right, write to us, otw@2600.com. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Stars that never were are parking cars and pumping gas. You can really breathe in San Jose. They've got a lot of space. There'll be a place where I can stay. I was born and raised in San Jose. I'm going back to find some peace of mind in San Jose. Fame and fortune is a magnet. It can pull you far away from home. Ah, without a friend. You pack your car and ride away. I've got lots of friends in San Jose. Do you know the way to San Jose? That never were are parking cars and pumping gas. I've got a lot.